Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Challenges to the standard bearers from the left wing of the Democratic Party are sweeping the country, including a gerrymandered safe district in Columbus. Many are tearing a page from the playbook of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, who unseated a popular, well-established male in 2018. Democratic voters in the 3rd Congressional District in Columbus will choose between two candidates on March 17 primary day. Popular incumbent Representative Joyce Beatty, who has held the seat unchallenged since it was drawn in 2012, and Columbus native Morgan Harper, a lawyer who previously worked for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Morgan Harper will be joining us later in the program. Joining us now is Congresswoman Joyce Beatty. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Ann.
You've been pressed on the issue of gerrymandering before, given that your district is one of the gerrymandered districts. It's a safe district, and it's intended to meet requirements for minority representation in Congress. But it also makes you, in this day and age, a target.
Yes.
How has it changed being challenged in the primary at this level by a candidate like Morgan Harper, who is raising, all things being equal, substantial amounts of money and interest? How is this changing the dynamic for you?
Well, I don't know that it changes the dynamics for me because I run every cycle. I'm not one of these candidates who don't come home. So there is a big difference. This is home for me. And I can tell you, I walked down 43 steps after the last vote at the end of our week, and I come home into the district, a district where I've been standing up for people, giving back, and getting things done. Now, I think when you have an opponent, you think about what Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. And I have a race, and I'm in it. I'm being engaging. I get to tell my story. In some ways, it allows me to talk about the rich history and culture in this district, the strongest, the weakest, the challenges. I probably wouldn't be here getting to tell all the good news but for this race. So in some ways, it elevates the 3rd Congressional District, that more people know more about it, whether that's our challenges or our barriers. But I also get to brag a little bit because I believe you should not always find fault. You should find a way. We know the statistics with everything. Look at what's happening at the national level. Since you mentioned this trend, which is coming from the national level, but this is the 3rd Congressional District. And as someone has called me, I am the gold star candidate because of my experience. And I'm in my first term in the majority. And that means a lot to me and a lot for what I can do in this district. And I've done a lot for this district.
You're listening to Joyce Beatty. She's Congresswoman for Ohio's 3rd District, representing parts of Franklin County, mostly Columbus. We're talking about the challenge, the primary challenge today in the 3rd District by Morgan Harper, another Democrat. They'll face off on March 17th in the primary. If you have a question or comment coming up later in the program, we'd be glad to talk to you about this trend regarding the left wing of the party challenging the center. The number's 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, it makes it, when you're the incumbent, you're always, it's a different kind of a target.
Yes.
You have to defend instead of attack mostly, or at least that's the way it sounds sometimes.
Well, I think it's style. My style is not to attack. Look, you just mentioned two women, Democrats running. The work for me is to look at what this president is doing and how it affects this district. It's easy for me to take a stat or for me to say some challenging or negative things. I'm a role model. I'm a mentor. I'm someone who likes to bring people along with me and talk about the positive. Now, that doesn't mean that I run from a challenge. It doesn't mean that I don't understand that we need structural change, that we need bold and progressive, because that's me. Now, we can play the game of who outlefts who and who's in the middle where. And on an individual level, that might be fair. But I'm not fighting for Joyce Beatty. I'm fighting for the 800,000 plus people in this very diverse district, this district that is not a minority majority district, this district that has the poorest and the wealthiest, this district that has some 135,000 employees in financial institutions, single moms, people who are moving up because of my work with diversity and inclusion, bringing dollars back, doing things that have never happened against the odds. That's what I want to talk about.
What are your thoughts about how the party has managed to bring itself to this point, I guess, where there are these challenges from the left? Is the party diverse enough?
Well, I think if you're talking about our national party, if you're talking about our state party, if you're talking about our county party, in some areas, we've done a great job. If I talk about our Franklin County party, I can remember sitting in that room and no one looked like me. I can remember sitting in that room and not knowing anyone. And I voice complaints about that. Anyone who knows me knows right is right and wrong is wrong. I have fought for women. I have fought for African Americans and Hispanics and Asians. I have been in the forefront, and I still am continuing to do that. We have a young female. We have more young folks, LGBTQ. We have all kinds of folks who are wanting to get engaged in what I'm going to call the movement. Now, our tent is big. We have people who are closely aligned and people who are not aligned. But somewhere in there, I want to believe that there is that common thread that at the end of the day, we don't want people to go to bed hungry. At the end of the day, we want affordable housing. Now, could we all do a better job? Yes. And that would start with us not tearing people apart. That's the biggest problem that I'm seeing now. We see it on the national stage. I hope we would not emulate that or mimic that, and that we would figure out if we put all our efforts together and figured out that the Democratic Party, it's a party that's a big tent with many different views. I don't believe that you can just make one thing, one person, the savior for all of our issues. If that's the case, it would have happened now. We have a strong progressive party in Congress. We have senators who are running for Congress who have brought bold and progressive ideas for many years. Now, are we moving the needle because of all of us? Absolutely, Anne. That's why when you look at the things that I've done in this district, if you look at the money that I have brought back to this district to move the needle with housing, because we know we have an affordable housing problem. But if you look at the real numbers, you will see there have been some changes. Is that because people have pushed from the far left? Absolutely. Is that because we have figured out how to work together for the good of the cause? Absolutely.
You describe it as a big tent, so I'll just go with that visual. It feels to some people from the outside, particularly the left, that it's sewn up tight, that it may be big, but whether you can get in, it depends on how you know, it's harder to get in for some people than others.
Well, you're making it like I'm in that sewn up part versus far left. And let me address that, because I think that's a misnomer. Okay. First of all, I'm a black woman.
Okay. Automatically.
And I have not been inside the tent. Now, I have fought my way and put myself inside the tent. I don't agree with everything that happens at every level in our party. And when I don't agree with it, I stand up and speak out. I worked really hard. I tried to get inside that tent when I wanted to be the leader in the Ohio House of Representatives. I had this big, bold, progressive vision. And that wasn't that long ago. That was right before I went to Congress. I was the first woman to do that against the odds. So I look at myself as someone who is on the outside of the tent, but on the inside of the tent as well. Now, just because I have won and not been opposed, maybe someone should look because people believe that I was on the outside fighting to bring people in. I don't want to be destructive. I don't want to be someone who destroys the party, because then what do we have? I want us to all work within that. And that happens in Congress every day. There are things that we vote right down the line and we win on. There are other things that we know we have to bring more people into the tent for the good of the people, not the party, not Joyce Beatty, or not an opponent.
Does having a challenger, though, and not just any challenger, but Morgan Harper, I mean, does it having a good challenger, is this a good thing?
Oh, I think we live in a democracy. I have said this before, having an opponent. You have to remember, when I ran, and we only serve every 2 years, so we run every 2 years.
You're constantly running, yeah.
You're constantly running, or at least I am.
Yeah.
So I think having anyone who wants to run for office is a good thing. How can I sit here and be a female when I invite people into my camp and tell them you should run for office? Now, I think you should have experience. I think you should know the district. I think you should have given back in the district. I think that it's easier when you're in the district for a short period of time at least, but not just coming to a district to run for a district. I think when you look at having people run, it's fine by me.
What's the difference between that and having them draw a district to guarantee that it's going to be your district?
Well, I don't know that they drew it to be my district. I ran, and there were three other people that certainly thought it was going to be their district, and it was drawn that way then. I didn't draw the district, and I ran in a very tough. I was the underdog. I was the only person at that time that was not an elected official or hadn't served in Congress. But I had worked in this district and given back for the district, not for myself. Now, I don't like gerrymandering. Now, I believe in minority representation. But when you look at the district and when you're running somewhere where you've not done anything, I think it's a big difference. And I think we have a lot of younger folks who are serving in this community because they want to run. And I welcome that at every level. Every level out there, I think we should have Democrats running for office. I think we should. I'm a little biased. I think we should have a lot of women running for office.
One of the thing, another trend line that we're seeing is that women, when they were running before 2018 or 2016, mm-hmm. Would run and be done. The run and done thing. They'd
right.
lose. They would be done with the game. They're not doing that anymore.
Well,
they're running and they're coming back to
like
run again.
People like me are encouraging it. Let me tell you, Val Demings ran when I ran. She lost. She went away and didn't come back in 14. I met with her in Florida and I said, Val, you have to run again. If we're going to make a difference, you have to run again. I sit every day on the floor with first-time women who've never thought about running, and I mentor and meet with them. I sit on the floor with people who we don't vote alike at all. Some might appear to be more progressive. Some might be more moderate. But I meet with both of them because we need all of that. We need the women who will take on anyone. I'm one of those individuals. But what I'm not going to do, whether it's media or anybody, make us outplay who is the furthest to the left or where you are, because that's not helping the people and it's not helping either one of us. And to be real honest, Ann, that's not what the fight is about. The fight is about changing the culture for Democrats. This is a Democratic primary, so I'm real comfortable that I want to be out there to win this district, to continue the fight, to help move the needle. We move the needle when we make sure that we have more people who think like me and can get in the game and win and change it. That doesn't mean that I discount anything, any platform that anyone else wants to stand on. That's their platform.
One of the things that Morgan Harper repeatedly criticizes you for is taking money from PACs and big corporate interests. You've responded that you don't need all of that money to run your races, that you use it. You use it to help other candidates around the country run. That's kind of how it works at that level.
Well, you have to understand Congress. Mm-hmm. I didn't write the rules. I don't even agree with all the rules. I think we should have campaign reform. But we both take corporate money. I take, and if you look at the amount of corporate money from corporate organizations that I take that come from their employees making an investment in me and in this district. I don't take money from every source, but you have educational PACs, you have realtors, you have union, labor union, you have financial institutions. But it would be an indictment to me someone with a track record of standing up that would say that because I've taken these dollars, it puts me in the room. It allows me to have a voice for those employees who put their money into those funds. And that's another thing you have to look at. What's the difference? You asked me the difference in gerrymandering or someone just coming here. What's the difference if you take personal money at the maximum amount from a corporate CEO who runs the same organization as the PAC? Now, that money comes from the people as well, in states outside of Ohio, districts outside of. When more of your money comes from big corporate law firms and CEOs who represent Trump's bank, who represents Big Pharma, and they're writing you, and you're here in Ohio, you've never been elected, you don't have a track record, they may just want something too. Now, I'm not going to attack my opponent for that. I'm going to respond when you and other media will say, she is attacking me for taking it. Well, she started when we were running, and this is not an attack. It takes money to run campaigns. You brought up my opponent has lots of money, and she put it up in the first quarter. How much money? But now it's not about the money. So I think you either have to figure out where you are with it. She's raising money from corporate people outside of this state. If you look at this report I have here, and it's all public information, in the first quarter, 22 checks came from the state of Ohio. That's all she had. Dozens of pages with 30 contributors per page. Hundreds. 22 from Ohio. I think we should be worried with outside influence as well.
Joyce Beatty, that's all the time we have. I appreciate your time, though. Thank you so much for joining us.
Have me come back where I can tell you a lot of the great news we're doing. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say this is Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, and I approve this message.
Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, she represents the 3rd District, represents parts of Franklin County, mostly Columbus. Coming up, we're going to hear from her primary challenger, Morgan Harper. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Left-wing candidates are challenging Democratic Party standard bearers in primary races across the country. In Ohio's 3rd Congressional District, Columbus native and lawyer Morgan Harper is taking on incumbent Representative Joyce Beatty, who has held the seat unchallenged since it was drawn in 2012. Harper previously served as a senior advisor with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She is a native of Columbus, though. Morgan Harper joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
What inspired you to start this campaign?
It really starts with my beginning in this community. I was born here, given up for adoption. I lived in a foster home. I was adopted and raised on the east side. And after I got financial aid to go to Columbus Academy, it woke me up to the whole concept of inequality, economic segregation. And that's what led me to pursue a career in public policy, become a lawyer. And I really felt like looking around that a lot of the issues that I became aware of at a very young age, age 10 to be specific, we hadn't really progressed on them. And in fact, I had a feeling based on my experience in Washington that the way that we're going to make sure that everyone in our community is able to lead a stable life, no matter who their parents are, what neighborhood or school district they're born into, is by more aggressive federal legislation that's going to ensure everyone has housing, health care, that we're doing something about the climate, and that we have jobs that are paying enough to support individuals and families.
you know, a lot of people talk about how candidates like you are kind of tearing the page from Representative Ocasio-Cortez's playbook in unseating a longtime incumbent and a popular incumbent in New York. Has that, I mean, what kind of influence, or can you speak to that and the sort of influence you've had, or maybe it's simply given you optimism about your prospects?
Certainly, you know, when we started this campaign in July, it was just us, you know, a few people that came together and believed in we can do better for our community here in the 3rd District. But having a model of people that were calling out that we have to get money out of politics and that it's going to be grassroots campaigns that are the best way to do that did provide a model of success and possibility. And it's a principle that I believe in very strongly, that we need to be running grassroots campaigns that are meeting people where they're at, because we have a lot of people that are not engaging in the political process. And the way that we can get them to believe in this process again is by saying that we are for you every single day, not for corporations.
You know, are you against Joyce Beatty?
I'm running against Joyce
Beatty. You're running against Joyce Beatty, but are you, I mean, does she represent something intrinsic that you oppose?
Representative Beatty is a traditional politician and does take 80% of her money from corporations. And like I said, I am not taking any corporate money. And that's been a pretty big part of our campaign throughout. I'm also representing and presenting to the people of the 3rd District a bold vision of what is possible through legislation at the federal level to address a lot of the issues happening in our community around police violence, around healthcare issues. These are all things that I hear from people every single day are some of the issues that are worrying them the most. And they're surprised to learn, actually, that there are things that can be done at the federal level to address them. And that's because we haven't been running these types of grassroots campaigns. And that's what I'm focused on. And, you know, just to say one more thing about the importance of not taking corporate money. I mean, Representative Beatty has taken this level of corporate money. And also we see it impact some of the legislative decisions that are made. The fact that she co-sponsored legislation that made it easier for financial services companies to charge people of color higher interest rates. This is connected to taking a lot of money from that industry. And so I really believe very strongly, and a lot of people that are supporting our campaign believe the same, that we have to get money out of politics so that we have representatives in Washington that are representing the interests of people. And I've seen, just if I could say one more thing on that, because in my time at Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, for example, I saw firsthand, I mean, corporations have resources to send lawyers to Washington. They have lobbyists that are there already to make sure that their point
kind
of view
constantly
that their point of view is always considered in the legislative and regulatory process. But people living in the 3rd District don't have time or money to fly to Washington to make sure that somebody's considering their perspective, right? And so that's why we need to have representatives that are free and solely focused on people.
Joyce Beatty, and this is to show, you know, she challenges you on that notion. You're a first-time candidate, mm-hmm. and so you're not going to have the kind of access to the sums of money and the PACs. They're not as going to be, frankly, not as interested in a first-time non-incumbent candidate in a gerrymandered district. But she says you have raised money from corporate people who are heads of corporations, who are presidents and CEOs from out of state. They may not be the PACs themselves, but they're high up the food chain in the companies.
This is a false equivalency, right? Okay, so one, I have not raised money from a ton of CEOs. I have raised money, it is true, from lots of people. Over 6,000 people have contributed to our campaign. But most importantly, 90% of the zip codes that make up this 3rd District have supported our campaign. I have raised money from more individuals living in the 3rd District over the course of this campaign than Representative Beatty has over her entire tenure in representing the district. And so this is an indication that people living here in the 3rd District are supporting our platform, that they believe in the message that we are presenting and also the policy ideas that we're putting out there. And it's just not the case that I'm taking money from corporate PACs is the same as receiving money from people who have learned about our campaign and support the policies as well, friends and family that know me and that are willing to support because they see the impact that I'm able to have when I enter institutions and represent the interests of people. This very misleading comparison, and I don't think it's an accurate one at all.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the third congressional primary, Democratic primary. We just heard from Joyce Beatty, incumbent in that district. Also joining us now is Morgan Harper. She is challenging Joyce Beatty for the seat or for the primary nomination in the district. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to want to hear from you about what you think about this trend of the left side of the party challenging more the central side of the center of the party. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What makes your policy platform more progressive than Joyce Beatty's?
My platform is really focused on making sure that everyone gets a fair shot. I think it's a value that a lot of us hold here in Central Ohio. And I actually don't think it's all that complicated to get there, but we need to have policies at the federal level that are supporting that outcome. So the policies specifically that I'm presenting that are different from Representative Beatty, one, I'm backing the Green New Deal. That's aggressive climate legislation that would address the climate crisis, reduce carbon emissions, but also create higher paying living wage jobs for people. And that is a distinction. Representative Beatty did not sign on to that resolution. I am also backing a more aggressive housing platform. We have a 54,000 unit gap here of housing in Franklin County. And the existing federal toolkit, which I'm familiar with from having worked at a national housing organization, is not sufficient to address that unit gap. We have to get the federal government into investing more in building housing and not just relying on private developers to decide that it's profitable to do so, because that model has failed. That's why we have a 54,000 unit gap, but also stabilize rents. So for a lot of neighborhoods in the 3rd District, there's been a tremendous amount of neighborhood change, especially since the foreclosure crisis over the past 10 years. And people have now find themselves more likely to be renting than homeowners in the 3rd District. But if you're renting, you're also quite vulnerable to landlords or property owners who might decide out of nowhere, really, to increase your rent. In some cases, I've heard from residents of the 3rd District by 100% year over year, month over month. And then that can lead to eviction. So we need to be able to stabilize rent. And that's another housing platform that I am introducing that is more progressive, I would say, to ensure that something as critical as a home, which is one of those fundamental building blocks to a stable life, that we won't just let people be completely vulnerable to the whims of folks who can profit in a very extreme way off of that.
When it comes to the Green New Deal, Representative Beatty has said that she's not philosophically opposed to what you're trying to achieve with something like that, but that in reality there will have to be compromises. It won't go through such as it is. So I'm wondering about how you, when you look at something like Congress, you come in as a freshman in a party that at least right now is in power in the House, what you bring to the table that she doesn't. So I'm thinking about the equation of a freshman, a neophyte, although I know you've worked in Washington.
Not a neophyte, exactly.
I know you've worked in Congress. I know. You've worked in Washington, and I know you get that and what's going on there, and I understand what you're getting at with that, but she does have a foothold. She does have friends there. She's been working there since 2012.
An important point to make here is that this is one of the most safely Democratic districts in the entire country.
Point's been made. Yeah,
is one of the most progressive places in the entire country. So if Representative Beatty felt strongly about some alternative way to address the climate crisis, she has had a long period of time to introduce legislation that addresses it and to build electoral support for it here in the 3rd District and across the country. And we haven't seen it happen. So I am coming at this from a place of there are needs that are unmet. And one of those, I'm glad you mentioned climate, because one of those is climate. If we don't address the climate crisis, we don't have a lot of other things to be talking about within 20, 30 years. And we need to be part of the national vanguard that is pushing for aggressive legislation like the Green New Deal to address this issue. And it hasn't happened. It has not happened under Representative Beatty's leadership.
She's said that you haven't experienced enough service to the community, that you haven't been part of this community for long enough as somebody who brings service to it.
I'm from here.
That you sort of picked, you cherry-picked a district to run in.
I'm from here. This is my home. I was born and raised here. My mother still lives in the house where I grew up. My brother lives in Gahanna, raising his two children. I'm a daughter. I'm an aunt. All of my family is here. I received my education here. I came back to clerk for a federal judge here after I finished law school. Ask a lot of people who know me, and they know me quite well here, who have known me my entire life. And it is this community that I plan to continue to live my life in and make the decisions that define my generation. Will I be able to afford to have children? We'll see. But, you know, these are the decisions that I'm going to be able to make here and also share a real love for this place in order to determine what our next 40 years look like. And in my opinion, we have a generation of work to do, right? We have 40 years that we're looking ahead at, and a lot of people are feeling those same decisions I just referenced. Will we be able to get jobs that pay us enough to support a family? Will we be able to have a climate that's inhabitable? Will we be able to manage healthcare costs, retirement, knowing that we're not going to have the types of pensions that were available to our parents? And so I come at this from a place of love and service to the people of the 3rd District that raised me, and I want to be able to do what I can to help organize us to provide for a future that works for all of us here in the 3rd District.
And do you have a sense that that's something you could hit the ground running doing?
Absolutely. In some ways, it's already happened. Look, I mean, we are building a movement of people who are engaging the political process, in some cases, for the first time. 16-year-olds who didn't even know what Congress was until we started talking to them about our race. And I have the experience of working in Washington at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I've worked at a think tank in Washington. I have a lot of relationships there. I worked at a national housing organization and connected with people all over this country who are experts in housing issues, one of the key issues presented right now in the 3rd District. And I really want to push back a little bit on that notion that just because you've never been a sitting congressperson that you don't have experience on the issues that are facing our community. It's not the case. And in fact, even if being a sitting congressperson is the qualification of experience that we're looking at, where are we at with that experience? We see unmet need after unmet need here in the 3rd District with people that are struggling to pay for health care, with people that can't access stable housing, with people that aren't able to earn enough money to live from one or two jobs. And we need representation that is rooted in the community, that is rooted in people, and presenting a bold platform while we can of what types of legislation would address those issues. And that's what I'm focused on.
What is your sense about how the Democratic Party is responding to the kind of things you're saying right now? And I guess the Democratic Party in terms of, you know, the scaffolding of it, the people who are run it.
Here at the county level, folks who are listening might be familiar with the endorsement process, the sample ballot. I actually did not seek the party's endorsement because I think when we have two credible candidates in one of the most safely Democratic districts in the country, we shouldn't be picking sides there in a primary. We should be educating the electorate about the policy differences that are going to address the issues of our community, right? The county party did not listen to that request, so they are distributing a sample ballot and mailers that I am not featured on, that, you know, our race is not being featured in. And that's a problem. That's a real problem. And it doesn't reflect an understanding of, one, where the community is at in wanting to be educated about what policies are going to support everyone in our community being able to lead a stable life. And also, working people don't have time to always do the research of, oh, well, these are our endorsed candidates, but there are other Democrats running. It's not Democratic at all. And so that doesn't reflect to me a party at the county or state level that is willing to actually do the work of what it takes to represent diverse perspectives and make sure that our electorate is learning about them. And I would suggest moving forward that we have a much more open mentality here and respect the work that we have been doing as a campaign, all of the people that have been supporting our campaign and want people to know that they have a choice in this election and not support sample ballots or mailers that only feature one Democratic candidate in this race. It's misleading, it's manipulative, and I don't think it makes for a true Democratic process.
I asked Representative Beatty how the dynamic has changed for her as a candidate in a race where she's opposed at the primary level. And I want to know, obviously this is your first race, but What is your impression, Ben, of the process so far, besides what you just talked about with how the county Democratic Party has responded to your request to be on the sample ballot or to be to notify voters? What's it like to do what you're doing?
It's been incredible. You know, it's a grassroots campaign, so certainly a lot of work, and especially when we don't have as many financial resources available to us. We are doing the work on the ground, and I love people. I love connecting with people. Like I said, I love this community more than any place on the whole planet. And having the opportunity to meet people where they're at and hear about their experiences, that people are willing to share their experiences with me, is exciting. But also, I want people to know that there are a lot of people that are hurting right now in the 3rd District, are struggling with healthcare costs, are struggling with housing. And we are telling them, look, it's not like you elect me and tomorrow all your problems are solved, by no means. And in fact, my message is quite the opposite, that we are just trying to be a vessel of organizing the community to engage a political process and fight for the changes we need to ensure that future generations are able to be stable and healthy here. And what it's looked like, though, is a movement of really diverse people of all ages, backgrounds that are coming together because we believe that we've got to take back control of our political process and our government, are excited about fresh ideas, new energy, and we're ready to win this on March 17th.
Morgan Harper, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Morgan Harper, Democratic primary challenger for Ohio's 3rd Congressional District. Her opponent is incumbent Joyce Beatty. She's been her first win in the district was in 2012 when it was redrawn. We are going to continue our conversation with social scientists, political scientists, I should say, and talk about the issue of the left versus the center when it comes to the Democratic Party and how it's sort of changing the conversation in the United States today. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Democratic voters in Ohio's 3rd Congressional District have a choice in the March 17th primary. We just heard from Columbus native Morgan Harper. She's a lawyer, previously worked for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She's challenging incumbent Representative Joyce Beatty, who has held the seat unchallenged since it was drawn in 2012. Progressive political newcomers are taking on established party leaders in Democratic races across the country, following the footsteps of politicians such as Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, who unseated a popular, well-established male in 2018. Wendy Smooth is Associate Professor of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies and Political Science at Ohio State. She joins us to discuss the trend and its implications here in Ohio. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for popping in. So right here in our own backyard is an example of, of this change, of this trend of the left challenging the center, all things being equal. I mean, everybody describes themselves differently, but mm-hmm. from a bird's eye view, the left challenging the center in a party that's kind of hanging on barely to the majority in the House and obviously clawing its way to parity in the Senate.
Sure. We are right in the thick of things. But this is a really incredibly interesting race because in some ways it maps on quite predictably to what we know about women candidates generally. Women incumbents enjoy, and I use that in quotation marks, enjoy challenges more often than their male incumbents. They attract challengers. Representative Beatty had not been in that position.
So when you say enjoy, meaning they're unlucky enough to be challenged more often than the men.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. There you go. And so in that way, it's really quite a kind of traditional moment, one that we have not seen with the 3rd Congressional District, but one that is not unlikely in the world of women in politics. In terms terms of what happens with this seat and the Democratic House majority, this seat is not a deciding factor in that regard. The 3rd Congressional District is, as the both candidates pointed out, overwhelmingly Democratic. So the idea that this seat could be somehow fall to a Republican is highly unlikely. But what we do see, and I think an interesting component of this moment, is the possibility for the district to lose seniority. And I don't mean that in terms of just the individual candidates. We also think about the ways in which districts gain power in Congress. And the way that the rules are made in Congress, the more senior a member, the higher they rise in terms of the leadership of the party, potential to chair committees, and that type of thing. So when we see a challenge or a potential unseating of an incumbent, what we also see is a diminishing of the district seniority.
Except what if they, I mean, right now they're calling him the, I don't know what they're calling, is it the gang or the PAC or the left wing of the party in Congress? They do have some momentum now. They are catching the eye of leadership. They are getting a foothold where if they were just individuals, they may not, but they're coalescing.
Absolutely. But Congress is still mapped according to a set of rules and norms around leadership appointments and the ways in which committee leadership is chosen, the ways in which people rise in the party overall. This is a kind of classic case of insider versus outsider politics. What we see on the far left of the Democratic Party is a push, is a play on outsider, traditional outsider politics. But what we also will see is what happens when outsider politics meets the rules and norms of the institution of Congress.
Are they just extinguished like a candle in the night, or what? What do we know about that?
Well, traditionally, what we know about that is that when outsider politics meets insider politics, those kinds of long-standing rules and norms of Congress tend to win out over the kind of outsider mobilization strategies. And certainly people like Ocasio-Cortez has had tremendous impact in terms of mobilizing social media. And that certainly plays a role in terms of agenda setting in Congress. I think the conversations that we are seeing among the two candidates in the third is incredible. Incredibly important for agenda setting purposes. But in terms of how we end up seating candidates in terms of leadership in the House, it's a different play, a different set of rules, I would say.
How much do you think those rules and what they dictate in the final analysis has to do with the lack of interest among eligible voters to get involved these days in our election system, in our democracy?
I think it's an interesting time to reconsider the rules. And I'm usually one who's always thinking about, you know, how do we change the rules? Are the rules inclusive? Are the rules fair? But in this regard, it's a really interesting moment because what we see are a number of people of color and women who are rising in Democratic Party politics, and they're being challenged as they're acquiring
power.
The power associated with seniority. It's a very interesting moment to challenge the rules or desire to rewrite the rules at just the moment in which we may have a totally different group of people leading than we've traditionally had. And so I find it really striking that we want to challenge the rules at this particular moment when we do have this opportunity to see more women and people of color moving into leadership positions.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are talking about a trend, of far left candidates challenging left to center in the Democratic Party, specifically the Ohio's 3rd congressional district right here in Franklin County, comprises most of Columbus, I think all of Columbus. Morgan Harper, the Democratic challenger in the primary on March 17th, and also incumbent Joyce Beatty, both have spoken today. My guest right now is Wendy Smooth. She is political scientist at Ohio State. Questions or comments, 614-292-8513. And Joe in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Joe.
Yes, hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I wanted to bring up a point regarding Morgan Harper's candidacy. I'm really glad to see candidates like this challenging the incumbent. And I was frustrated in 2018 when the Franklin County Democratic Party endorsed Danny O'Connor. There was a contender in that primary, John Russell, who had demonstrated electability in a 2016 race on the state representative level. But when the party endorsed Danny O'Connor, John came in second place instead of, being the candidate. And then that seat was lost to Troy Balderson. I wanted to hear thoughts on that.
Wendy Smooth?
Sure. I think the caller's point in terms of the Democratic Party doing endorsements during the primaries can be problematic in the sense that our primaries are designed to create the broadest discussion possible. It's an agenda-setting moment in which we are able to think about what should be the platform that's carried forth in terms of the best representation for the district. So I definitely would agree with the caller and with Morgan's earlier point that this kind of early endorsement tips the scale for the incumbents in certain ways. But one of the things I do want to make sure that we are paying attention to is that when we have challengers rise against incumbents, this is an incredible moment for democracy, small d, because hopefully more people are brought into the process in terms of paying attention to the issues, pushing both candidates to think critically about the issues. And very similar to what happens in the larger kind of presidential primaries, all of this, just all of the discussions that we have in the local community during the primaries have to show up in the candidates, the ultimate winning candidate's responsiveness to the community. So this is good for democracy, small d, because it makes us more engaged. And then the other thing that we know is when we see more women running for political office, I mean, we have two incredibly capable women candidates who are using their voice to represent our community. That is good for democracy, small d, in terms of allowing women a voice in politics and encouraging women to become engaged in politics by seeing great examples.
In the race that the caller mentioned, John Russell versus Danny O'Connor in that Democratic primary race, the ultimate, the district leaned heavily Republican. So whoever won that was not guaranteed or likely was going to be not, more likely not to win no matter what, depending on who. Does that matter to you as far as when the Democratic Party does their voting guides or endorses or not versus, say, the 3rd district, which is pretty much guaranteed the Democrat?
Sure. So I definitely agree. It's a very different type of district. It was a Democratic potential district.
Yeah, possibilities,
But not quite as, not nearly as strong as what is happening with the 3rd congressional district. I think in both cases, though, the idea of the party staying out of endorsements at the primary level is a strong practice. Definitely, incumbents come to the conversation with a great deal of name recognition. And to be clear, the power of incumbency is very difficult to overturn no matter what race you're in. So the AOC win out of New York was rule-breaking in terms of the ways in which political scientists think about these questions. If we back up and think historically about the 3rd Congressional District, the 3rd Congressional District was an open seat mm-hmm. that was created out of the redrawing of the census in 2010.
Right.
Women candidates, minority candidates tend to fare better in open seat races than when we challenge incumbents. Even for all of the rule breaking we've seen between in the 2018 midterms, for example, there's still some rules of politics that seem to hold.
They were the exceptions that proved the rules.
They were the exceptions instead of the rules. But I think it's an exciting component or dimension of politics to have these challenges happen.
Wendy Smooth, as always, thanks for joining me to help suss this out. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Wendy Smooth, Associate Professor of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies and Political Science at Ohio State. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.